Welcome to Off the Cuff. I'm Dean Vitale, joined by John Bell, who is our lifelong pastor and the gentleman that we draw all his knowledge. Well, not all his knowledge. Day by day, we get some more of it. And John answers questions, what we do here on Off the Cuff. So we gather together typically once a week, and then I ask John a question, and we dig deeper. And then I ask John some follow-up questions. And it's all about learning what Scripture says and how we can apply that to our lives. So, John, I always like to start off most recently with just a question. So, again, you know, you've been in ministry such a long time and a senior pastor for such a long, long time. Do you think those folks that are walking around today are easier to talk to about Jesus Christ? Or do you think the folks that are walking around today don't want to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ?
What I would say is there's kind of three responses typically, and they're described in Romans 1, 2, and 3. So the first response is, I call it the Jack Nicholson response. It's like, hey, it's my life, and I want to live my life the way I want to live my life.
Yeah.
Right, which is the outright rebel. It's like, I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want anybody telling me. So they're their own authority. Then secondly, there's the moralist, which starts in Romans chapter 2. And the moralist is the person who, they kind of have an attitude that they're pretty good. You know, they're smarter than most people. They're better than most people. They figured out how life works. And that's the one I identify with, because I come from a long line of moralists, which is, you know, the moralist is of the belief that, you know what, I can do this. I can pick myself up by my bootstraps and succeed. So and generally, you know, they generally are somewhat successful. They do well in school. And from outward appearances, it looks like they got it all together. They don't. Their hearts are very dark. And that's what Paul exposes. And then the third is the religious people. And I think the hardest group to reach in the world is maybe someone who grew up in the church or the synagogue or the mosque or wherever. So they grew up and they've tried to keep all the rules. And if you talk to them, it's kind of like, well, you know, I never miss a Sunday. I was a Sunday school kid, all that kind of stuff. And I think the religious person, so you got the rebel, you got the moralist, and you got the religious person. I think today, religion is not what it used to be. There used to be at least some common ground. People believed in Jesus. They believed in the Bible. Less people believe the Bible is authoritative today, probably than ever before. But I think it's harder. I think it's really harder. I think it's I think what people want to hear is kind of feel good stories. They want to hear self help sermons. I think it's harder. I go back to, so I started in ministry in 1975. I could make a reference in a sermon to a story in the Bible, and most people in the audience knew what I was talking about. And most people actually felt, if they weren't in church out on the street, they knew that there was something wrong. They were willing to admit that. But today, we are a very proud society, especially in the West. We think we have a lot of answers. And so, you know, we don't like the idea that someone comes along and says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Like, that's pretty insulting to most people.
Hmm. So today, it's more difficult, in your opinion, to share Jesus Christ with people.
I think that we have to... So what I would say is, when I started ministry, you could do evangelism. I think today you have to do a lot of pre-evangelism because
that's interesting.
Yeah, you have to remove the arguments that people have. So Paul in 1 Corinthians, you know, he's talking about how the gospel works. He says, one plants, another waters, but God is the one who brings forth the fruit, who gives the increase, right? I think there has to be a lot of tilling the soil and gardening today, more than ever before. I don't think you can, yeah. I don't think you can start. You know, if someone comes up and says, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? And I say, well, tell me. See, I don't even answer that question. I'll say to them, well, do you believe in heaven? Or do you believe in hell? Or I might turn around and say, before I answer your question, let me ask you a question. What do you think happens when you die? How do you think a person gets to heaven? So in other words, I have to remove the arguments that are already in place in their mind before I can tell them about the way, the truth, and the life.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it is more difficult now, as I'm a man of 60 years old, than when I was a man of 35 years old. And again, I'm not a lifelong pastor.
Well, they say that we are living in a post-Christian world.
Yeah,
I would actually say we're living almost in an anti-Christian world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I avoid the traps of people, and I think Christians today have to be smarter than ever. And when I say smarter,
because they fall right in.
Yeah, there. I don't like. I would say to any Christian, don't ever answer a question that an unbeliever asks you. We got to get back to kind of what Jesus should. You know, Jesus never answered any of the questions that they put to him. He would always say, I'll answer your question if you answer my question.
Right.
And then afterwards.
And that ticked off a lot of people.
And then afterwards they go, we're not asking him any more questions.
Well, that approach didn't work. All right, let's start with today's question on Off the Cuff. Here it is, John. Is it easier to serve God being wealthy, or is it easier to serve God being poor?
Okay, so here's what Jesus said. He says, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven, right? Now, some background on that.
I always say, but got to give me the next verse.
Okay, so...
But nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible with God, right?
Because I've heard that a long time in my life.
Right. But here's the thing. He wasn't talking about wealthy people who had their own business, which is really funny to me. Like people, when Jesus answers a question or when he makes a statement, you can't just listen to the words. You've got to look at the geography, where he's at, who's the audience, what's the point he's making. Again, he's talking to religious people, and he's talking essentially to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, because they were getting rich off of religion, and that's kind of what he's condemning. Here's an interesting thing. He never condemns wealth in Galilee. He only condemns wealth in Judea, and the reason is because in Galilee, there were a lot of entrepreneurs and business people. You know, the disciples essentially were entrepreneurs. Most of them were fishermen. The one that was getting rich off people was Levi or Matthew. But he was in Capernaum. You know, his tax station was in Capernaum. So he saw all these entrepreneurs and business people. But whenever Jesus gets near Jerusalem, that's when he really condemns wealthy people. So it's not a question of wealth versus poverty. Here's the problem with wealth. Well, first off, how you get your wealth is a big deal with Jesus. And that's what he condemns. Like, how are you getting your wealth? Are you getting your wealth by manipulating and taking advantage of other people? And that could be in the mafia or that could be in religion. So I mean, there's a lot of preachers, pastors, evangelists who are getting wealthy by taking advantage of people and making promises to them that, you know, have no basis in reality. So Jesus is always condemning not just wealthy, but how did you get your wealth? Someone like you, Dean, you are in marketing. You're an entrepreneur. You've been a businessman your whole life. That's what we're supposed to be. Jesus loves entrepreneurs. He loves business people. He loves people. Why? Because they're producing products that make people's lives better. So if you get wealthy doing that, God doesn't have any problem with that. There's a lot of wealthy people. The man of faith, Abraham, he was a very successful businessman. You know, he had large flocks. He owned wells when travelers came through the land of Canaan at that point. They had to pay to get water from his well, and he hired lots of people. That's really good. I actually think that business is a great opportunity for ministry. So this is what I was going to say earlier. It's not a question of wealth versus poverty. My father taught all seven of his children that there was nothing special about being poor. You know, it's like he drilled that into us. It's like, listen, God has given you a mind. He's given you healthy body. He's given you creativity. You know, go out and invest it. And that's kind of the parable of the talents, right? Where we're supposed to invest our lives so that we actually are making things better for other people. And by that, we're giving glory to God.
But there is kind of an underlying rule that a lot of people think, and it's like the Mother Teresa, who was, you know, poor and did without her whole life. And, you know, there is people believe that Jesus was poor. And I remember, you know, you told me this 35 years ago. You know, he said, you know, Jesus's robe was equivalent to an Armani suit of today. Mm-hmm. Do you remember you said that?
Yeah. But this is what I was going to say. That the difference is, so there's two things about being wealthy that are dangerous. Is number one, it can make you greedy. Because, you know, as Rockefeller said, how much money is enough money? And he said, right. One more dollar. You know, because right. You'll never think you have enough. And some people just have incredible wealth that they don't even know what to do with. I mean, there's all kinds of stories about people and just they're greedy. Because it's a very addictive thing. Hmm. Okay, so number one, just greed itself. And then, of course, with that comes pride because you start taking credit. So the wealthy people are like intelligent people or good-looking people or, you know, anybody that can, athletic people, people that can do things that other people can't do, is they start taking credit for it instead of giving the glory to God. So that's the other thing is, besides greed, is pride. And pride, this is really important. God hates greed and God hates pride. God hates people who don't share with others and God hates people who are proud. And the Bible over and over and over again says, humble yourself before the Lord. The Lord loves humility. He hates pride.
Hmm. So give us a definition of pride as far as what Jesus hates. So now, you know, because there's some, you know, benign pride, I would think. Like someone's excited for a White Sox victory, and the camera pans them, and they go number one, and they're prideful for that game. That's not the pride that Jesus hates, right?
There's nothing wrong with being proud of something or being proud of your children if they succeed, being proud of accomplishments. No. But it's the whole idea of here's what I would say. Whenever you're proud so that you stop trusting God, now your pride has gotten a hold of you. And God hates that. God hates when you don't trust him.
Yeah, and money can do that. You could have so much money you think to yourself, well, you know, I don't need to lean on God.
Yeah, I don't have to trust it. And God, right. I mean, the whole idea is what God wants us to do, no matter what situation, whether we're destitute or whether we have $1 million in the bank, God wants us to be trusting him. So, you know, that simple prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Do I believe that everything I have comes from God? And do I believe that everything I need is going to come from God as well?
Yeah, yeah. So I think we can really just say that regardless of your wealth or your poverty, it's just a matter of your heart and not a matter of your assets.
You know, I've met a lot of greedy poor people. I've met a lot of very proud poor people. I've met people who are proud of their poverty.
And yeah, so let's go back to that for a second. Why is there, you know, this attitude that Jesus was poor?
Well, you know, let's go back to your Mother Teresa example. You know, Jesus wants us to be generous. Jesus wants us to be willing to share what we have. You know, the story of the Good Samaritan is a perfect example, right? Here's a guy that was beaten up, robbed, and left for dead. And, you know, a couple of religious people came by and just ignored him completely. And then this Good Samaritan comes by and he totally takes care of him. So the whole law, Jesus boils down the law to two commandments. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, the Pharisee said, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus went on to tell that story of the Good Samaritan to illustrate the fact is that your neighbor is the person that God puts in your path who have a need that you can fill. So, you know, we're to be generous people. That's a sign that we're not proud. And again, there are stingy people who are poor, and there are stingy people who are wealthy. But, you know, we're supposed to be generous because our God is so generous. So when I'm generous, I'm simply reflecting the attribute of generosity of the God who loved me while I was still a sinner. Jesus died for me while I was still an enemy with God. So we are commanded not only to love our neighbor, but to love our enemies.
And this is important because money is talked about a lot in the Bible.
Money is talked about a lot in the Bible.
And people really get it wrong a lot because, again, you know, people always, you know, there's the other side that wants to point at pastors that have jets and, you know, 30,000 square foot homes. And then there's the other side that says, no, Jesus was very poor. And they really believe Jesus was poor, and they think there's some badge of honor if you are poor, if you have, you know, if you have poverty. And there's really not a badge of honor in either of those. I mean, it's am I right?
Yeah, and here's the way I looked at it, Dean, my whole life. I think each of us kind of, God knows ahead of time where he's going to send us, where he's going to plant us, where he's going to have us minister. And so he gives us kind of an attitude and a way of seeing things that are like the people that we're supposed to reach. The only difference is we believe in Jesus Christ. So, you know, when I went to Naperville, you know, as a pastor, And the church, when I went there, it was like a church of 200 people. And it was, and Naperville was kind of this up and coming suburb. And I could see it. That was one of the reasons I went there. And I knew that, and I've always been able to attract, you know me, I've always been able to attract entrepreneurs and business people. I could tell when someone walked into the church after a conversation with them, after I meet them, I could tell whether or not they were going to stay, you know, because some people just are like, no, I don't want to hear anything that guy has to say. But entrepreneurs and business people, generally over the course of my nearly 50 years of ministry, I generally get along with those people. And part of that is that's just the way God made me. It's not something I don't think about it. I don't say, oh, I'm going to dress this way, or I'm going to look like this, or I'm going to connect with people in such a way that I attract this kind of person. It's like, I don't do any of that stuff. I'm just doing me. But there's a lot of other guys like me. And so a guy like you comes into the church and says, I think that guy gets me. And I've had men say that to me before. He says, they'll actually say to me, you know, when you talk, sometimes I feel like you're talking just to me. It's like, well, most of the time I'm talking to me, but you're just in on the conversation. So I just think, you know, Mother Teresa, God made Mother Teresa with that kind of heart to work with the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India. But, Not everybody's called to work in Calcutta, Dean.
Yeah, that's a John Bell moment. Yeah, see, that's good because, so what you just told me is God prepared you for entering the Naperville market because God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that you were made to attract the entrepreneurs that were attracted to Naperville. And that's why God grew that church under your leadership, because this was all, it was all predestined. And equally, God made Mother Teresa to minister to those poverty-stricken people. And that's why she was in India, and that's why you were in Naples.
Exactly.
That's great, John.
I remember my first 14 years, I worked with Jewish people, and I'm Scottish, right? So... But I remember after the first year working with Jewish people, just because they're very bold, they're very forthright, they're very direct, you know, they're very business oriented. I remember thinking, I think I found my people, you know, because I identified so much with them.
Yeah. So listen, I mean, just one more here, because now we're addressing the student who's going back to college and he's studying to be an architect. And in fact, if he is a believer and if God has his life plan where he's going to be an architect and he's going to design something and he's going to, what I'm saying is that is just not for pastors and people in the ministry. That's for everybody. And God trains those people to place them in the positions where God wants them to be in. Is that correct?
Yep. The old saying is grow where you're planted.
Yeah. And that's just not for people in ministry. That's for
everyone. Everyone's in ministry, Dean.
I'm sorry,
everyone's
go ahead and hear
ministry.
That.
People in the audience are really in ministry. I'm really there to equip them for ministry.
Yeah. I get it. Right. All right, that's it. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. This was again, I'm an entrepreneur, so I enjoy this. And that was my question, no doubt. So I appreciate you talking to us. On behalf of John Bell, I'm Dean Vitale with Off the Cuff. And we're here at least once a week. And you could find us at AmazingMenMinistries.com. And you can find our body of work there that we do for Jesus Christ. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.